You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, publisher and editor of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Mark, with all the trouble in the Middle East, what are your thoughts on crude oil right now?
Well, a lot depends on, you know, the short-term outcome there. You know, there's a lot of bearish predictions out there about what could happen if, you know, war expands and the Straits of Hormuz are blocked and so forth and so on. So the market is just sort of on a anticipatory holding pattern here. You know, crude oil has rallied a bit, and, you know, we can come up with all kinds of numbers to the upside. We've heard numbers up to $150, $200 a barrel if something really got bad, or, you know, things settle down, and next thing you know, crude oil is heading back into the 50s. So we just have to watch the news. And, you know, we were short crude oil for a while. We made some money on the short side, and then we covered, and we just, you know, we've been playing a little bit on the long side, but we covered that too. So we're sort of flat here, just watching the market. But, you know, a lot depends on what happens in the news here, and everybody's waiting to see whether B-2s are going to come in and bomb the nuclear sites in Iran. And we were talking off air about how it might be a good idea for the for Israel just to lease these planes. So let them do the bombing and keep the U.S. out of it. That might be a good suggestion. From what I understand, we did that type of thing during World War II, releasing military ships to the British and so forth. So anything is possible here. But to answer your question on the crude oil, it's all market-driven right here, just to see what happens in the news.
Mm-hmm. Now, the stock markets closed in the U.S. Holiday today. But how do you think they're going to react? Or again, are they just sitting and waiting? And are defense stocks going up?
You know, it's really funny what's going on. If you're watching the market has been doing its own thing. A lot of stocks are doing great. For example, Microsoft, which is one of the Mag 7 stocks, actually made a new high here the last couple days. So, you know, the whole list of stocks, nuclear-related stocks, rare earth related stocks, mining stocks, you know, quantum computing stocks, a whole bunch of these have been moving and doing well. Silver broke out this current week. That's been doing better. So it depends, you know, it's been really a stock picker's market. There's a lot of stuff that's, you know, doing great. Some coal stocks start to uptick here a little bit the last couple days. Of course, some of the energy stocks have been doing better, some of the big names like Chevron and Exxon and so forth because of what's happening in the Mideast. But they were doing okay anyway because of their dividend. So even, you know, I've been cautious on the market, and I've talked about this for the last couple of months. You know, in June, you got to be careful. A lot of cycles come into play here. We've got the summer solstice on the 21st, just a couple of days away, longest day of the year. But more than that, as I warned, you know, back in April and May, you got to watch out that, you know, there could be some volatility in the June period around some of the cycles. So we'll see how it all plays out. But I think the bottom line is the market wants to go higher. Some of the strong sectors, as I mentioned, you know, another one, semiconductor stocks have also been positive. Everybody's waiting for the Fed to lower rates, which they didn't do, but President Trump is insisting that we should have rates 2.5% lower than where they're at, simply because what it costs to pay our debt is you know, skyrocketed here, and the Fed should be more sensitive to that and accommodated the needs of the country. So I'm sure he's out the door. Powell, Jay Powell, is going to be out the door when his term expires next year. So you know, he's probably just stubborn in what he wants to do. He's been mismanaged the Fed ever since he took the reins, you know, many years ago. So he's in no way credible. Of course, you know, I've been objecting to the very existence of the Federal Reserve for decades. So I think we need to get rid of it. We should have free markets determine rates, which they basically do anyway in the long bonds. So time will tell. Eventually, I think we're going to have to get rid of the Fed or significantly control their authority in some way. You know, after all, it was created by Congress in 1913. It could be just as easily abolished. So, yeah, I'm a free market person. Interest rates should be determined by the market, and they are right now, as I've often mentioned on these broadcasts. Look at the bond market, which, by the way, upticked a little bit the last day or two, which is a little bit encouraging. But the long bonds, which are bigger than the stock market, the bond market is bigger than the stock market in terms of value, and they really, that's really the main market. So what the Federal Reserve does is really a joke in a certain sense. The more serious involvement they have is controlling and playing with the money supply, but the big bond market really controls the rates. So, you know, rates eventually probably are going to be forced down politically or otherwise. You know, whether we have to wait till next summer for a new Fed chairman to get in, or the bond market itself just takes off and sort of the tail wagging the dog sort of forces the hand of the Fed at some point, time will tell. But everything is sort of news related now, related to military conflicts and, you know, a lot of uncertainty there. But, you know, I still think we're going to come out of it to the upside. There's too much money on the sidelines, and they're still looking, you know, positive result. Hopefully, if the new tax bill, the big tax bill that's pending, gets passed and lowers, you know, taxes or keeps taxes lower here in the U.S., a lot of other incentives in there as well. So I think the market wants to all go higher, and it will. So we just have to wait and see if we have another bump in the road here based on Mideast news in the meantime.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what's going on with gold? Some people are saying we could see a major collapse. Do you believe that?
You know, I've been talking about more of a correction is possible just based on history. You know, gold is driven by geopolitical events. And it's been, it really started up big here after the Hamas invasion in Israel, you know, over a year and a half ago. So, you know, I guess if things really settle down worldwide, you know, it might back off a bit and it is extended, but I don't know. The trend is your friend. It broke out of multi-year highs. You know, I wouldn't be chasing it here. I mean, if you have it, keep it. If we do get a correction, then I would buy on a pullback. You know, you can come up with all kinds of numbers. I think basically a lot has to do with what happens, you know, with the new Fed chairman, which is probably going to come in a year from now. And there's a lot of talk about gold being backed. We're backing treasury bonds, and there's also talk about the crypto market being involved with you know, the gold market too, in terms of some of these stable coins being backed by treasuries and treasuries being backed by gold. So you know, there's a lot of interconnection between these markets. So I would give gold the benefit of the doubt. The big story that I've, you know, talked about many times here, and it's just not played up in the press, is what really is going on in Fort Knox. You know, they really haven't audited it. You know, my gut feeling is the government has not been telling the truth about what's going on there. There has been no audits at all that I know of. I've heard of some maybe back in the 1970s. The gold may not be there. And, you know, that could be part and parcel to the reason gold went up, and maybe the realization that the gold's not really there and there's a shorter supply. And we know that China and Russia have been acquiring tons of it over the years. So that might be a bigger driving force if it ever comes out that the gold's not really at Fort Knox, and a lot of political pressure is keeping the auditors out of there. I mean, I just keep reading stories, and even the new Secretary of Treasury, the Senate, you know, he sort of said, oh, everything is okay. And even though before that, Trump and Elon Musk were talking about going in there and auditing it. You know, that's really the biggest story of the, can we really go in there and verify the gold? I mean, I don't think they're going to do it, because if it's bad news, you know, that's going to drive gold through the roof. I mean, you can make up any kind of number to the upside in gold if we really find out that it's either been stolen or given away or spent. And sort of the fact that they haven't disclosed it all these years sort of tells me there's something rotten in Denmark, so to speak. So that might be the biggest story for gold, but I don't know if we're ever going to get the truth. It's almost like the UFO cover-up, you know, with aliens and everything else, you know. It's been covered up for decades and lied about, and, you know, the government's just not going to come out with the truth here. So for me, that's a bigger gold story, but whether we're ever going to get to the bottom line there, it's something I can't predict. But under normal circumstances, I think with the involvement with the crypto market and the bond market and the tying of gold and all that together, and I would say any correction in gold would probably be just another buying opportunity. And certainly we've seen over the years, you know, 500 to 1,000 point corrections in gold. It could happen. I'm not predicting it, but what was encouraging this past week was silver breaking out, and that was a breakout, and we'll see if it holds up here, but it might run into the 40s or 50s. We'll see. So that was sort of an encouraging sign, and the only discouraging part of that is that silver historically, I believe, tends to run late in the cycle. It might be a sign of overzealousness or bullishness in the metal market. So that might be bearish to a certain degree that silver is finally catching up here at the tail end, so to speak. So let's see how silver plays out. And we also have to keep in mind some other metals have been rallying here. Platinum and palladium, platinum in particular, broke out the last couple, 3 weeks. So, you know, there's a big push on the rare earths and metals because of defense reasons, technology demands, and so forth. And it just seems like the realization has come that rare earths and metals are more and more important. So I'd be careful about getting too bearish in the whole metal sector. There's just too many technological and other needs for these metals. And I think that would partially explain why a platinum or palladium would suddenly take off, or silver would suddenly take off. So again, you know, you don't want to chase markets if you're in there. And you got the coins, I would hold on to them. And if you're trading, well, that's a short-term decision you have to make on your own.
What's going on the cryptocurrency front?
Well, it's a big week. That was actually the biggest story this week. And one of the stocks that we had put on our list this week, you know, really exploded to the upside. So the Genius Act was passed in the Senate, and it still has to go into the House for approval. So, you know, we could argue that, you know, the House could give it, you know, some static, and maybe it won't, you know, pass there so fast. But the act, it was, you know, an important event because it has to do with setting a legal or formal playing field for the crypto market. So anyway, it really provides regulatory clarity for the for stable coin issuers. And many people don't understand what stable coins are, but they're basically assets that are based with high quality treasury bills and so forth. And there's companies like Walmart and others. Big companies are thinking of issuing stable coins in terms of conducting business versus using, you know, checks or credit cards and so forth. It's a very complicated area, and you really have to read our blockchain newsletter to get into more understanding of what this is all about. But the act has been, you know, it overwhelmingly passed the Senate, and like I say, whether it's going to, you know, pass the House, we'll see. But one of the companies that's involved in that, I was referring to this about a minute ago, went public this past week, called Circle. And if they're involved in the stablecoin business, and the stock, I think, opened at $69 a share and ran up to over $200 this past week. We, you know, for our clients in the newsletter, we suggested taking a look at it when it was about $80, and it ran all the way up to $200. So there's some real action there. In fact, I had one subscriber who said he paid for his year subscription, more than paid for his year subscription, because he heard my comment about this company Circle, ticker symbol CRCL. We're not currently in it at the moment. It ran up, and we decided to take a paper profit in it, but you know, a lot of action, no question about it. A lot of stuff coming. I guess that's sort of the big story with the Genius Act passing the Senate and the stablecoin becoming potentially part of our daily commerce. So, you know, that's really, I've sort of pounded the table on this. I mean, a few months ago, about how one of the biggest opportunities out there. I mean, certainly a lot of things going on, uranium and nuclear and semiconductors and a lot of stuff we talked about a few moments ago. But, you know, there's a lot of potential still in this stablecoin crypto market. And Bitcoin been languishing here a little bit. It got up close to its high this past couple of weeks, about 110, 111,000 level. Now it's settled back to 104 or so. But, you know, it still looks like it wants to go way, way up. And, you know, I'm thinking, you know, 140, 150, 200. These are all potential numbers in the next, you know, year or two or maybe sooner. But the percentage gains are certainly going to be in some of the lower price cryptos out there. And you take a look at it. So I would encourage you, you know, it's a little bit of a sales pitch, but, you know, if you don't know much about the cryptos and want to see a list, I would encourage you signing up for our VR blockchain letter, because that comes out weekly and we sort of list all the names out there. And, you know, I think there's still a lot of action to be had here.
On the geocosmic front, apparently there's a sunspot pointed right at the Earth.
Well, it's supposed to be two CMEs headed our way, according to a thing that's called a coronal mass ejection from the sun. They said in the next 48 hours there could be some impact here, but we don't know the intensity of it. This is really a tough call. You know, one day there's going to be a CME that's going to knock our socks off and knock out technology, and this could be a non-event. So, yeah, there's something going on there. We also had the Hurricane Eric, I think his name, hit Mexico this week, the first hurricane of the season. So we're getting some, you know, geocosmic activity here of sorts starting to unfold here, particularly with that hurricane season. And, you know, again, we're entering the summer solstice right now, and that I believe is part and parcel to some of the volatility we've seen in the Mideast and the world here. I think it indicated there might be some disruptions or change of direction of some kind, and you know, we were right in saying be careful here into June. But again, there have been a lot of individual stocks and sectors doing well, as I mentioned this past few minutes. So it's not like the stock market collapsed, and relatively speaking, it's held up, you know, pretty well. I mean, my gut feeling was we needed a little bit more of a correction here in June in the overall market and then move higher, and maybe that could still happen. But some of these leading sectors and individual stocks have been holding up pretty well. So it's really more of a stock picker's market out there in many sectors. But getting back to your geocosmic, yeah, there's been some stuff going on, and we'll just I'm not going to sit here and worry about the coronal mass injection, you know, knocking our socks off in the next few days. But I guess famous last words, right?
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thanks for having me.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of How Street Media Incorporated.